Hello, hello. Thank you for being with us today. I'm excited for today's episode, but wanted to take a quick moment to talk about prenatal vitamins. As a doula, I encourage my clients to achieve optimal nutrition through food. However, even with the most thoughtfully planned diet, it is nearly impossible to meet the daily requirements through food alone. Ideally, you should start taking a prenatal before you find out you're pregnant, or as soon as you test positive. P.S. If this is you, congrats. Prenatal vitamins help nourish and support your body while helping you grow that cute little human inside. Nutrients like choline and folate in prenatal vitamins support healthy brain and spinal cord development in early stages of pregnancies. Prenatal vitamins are unfortunately not all made the same. My favorite prenatal brand is called Needed. I first discovered them through our Facebook community, actually. They are very supportive of our community and have secured 20% off to all of our mamas with code VBAC20. Go to thisisneeded.com and enter in code VBAC, VBAC20 at checkout for 20% off. Hi, my name is Megan. Welcome to the VBAC Link podcast. I am a VBAC after 2 C-section mama, a wife, doula, and VBAC educator. This podcast was created to hold space for those wanting to know their options for birth after cesarean. It is a space where you will likely find yourself getting better educated, relate to stories like your own, and finding the inspiration to help you have a better birth experience. Although we will be sharing stories related to cesarean and VBAC, this podcast is for anyone and everyone who wants to receive evidence-based information and learn how to avoid unnecessary or undesired cesareans. The purpose of this podcast is to educate and inform. It is not meant to replace advice from any other medical professional.
Ready? Happy New...
Oh. Oh, are we supposed to say it together? Oh, sorry.
Okay, no, you were just saying K. Let's go again. You were just saying K, but let's do it together. Okay, ready? Remember we did this last time.
One. Okay, 1, 2, 3... Happy New Year! It was not right.
Well, we're gonna leave it. You guys, we have been trying to say Happy New Year at the same time. There is a delay, I'm sure, on both sides. I don't know, but Happy New Year, you guys. Welcome to the VBAC Link. It is 2025, and we're excited for this year. Oh my goodness. And obviously, you probably caught on that there is another voice with me today. And I have Hello. Julie. Oh, you guys, I brought Julie on today because we have a special announcement. I didn't let her get away for too long. I didn't want her to go. I couldn't. If you haven't noticed, I've been bringing her on. And I'm like, can you do this episode with me? Do you want to do this episode with me? Do you want to do this episode with me? And now, at least for the next little bit, she's going to be doing her own episodes. She's helping me out. Yeah. We have been doing 2 episodes a week for almost a year now. And it's a lot. It's a lot.
So, you have been such a champ.
Oh my goodness. So that's what we've been up to. And I decided that Julie needed to help me, and she was so gracious to say, yeah, I'll do it. And get this, you guys, she was nervous the first time. She was like, I'm feeling
nervous. Like, I don't know what I'm doing.
But she totally does know what she's doing. But yeah, so you will be hearing every so often Julie's voice solo. She's going to be hosting the show solo. So you'll hear a little bit of a new intro with her and I, where we are bowl talking, so you don't get confused. But I don't think it's very confusing. Julie has been with us since the very beginning because her and I created the company. And So it's been so fun to have her here. So thank you, Julie, for helping me out.
You're always welcome. Always a pleasure.
I'm trying to think. Let's see. Okay. I want to talk about 2025 and kind of some things that we've got coming up as far as stories go. So as a reminder, if you have not subscribed to the show, please do so. As you subscribe, it will send you the episodes weekly. And right now, like I said, we are doing 2 a week. So soak it all up. We have so many great stories. We have stories from OBGYNs And we're doing Q&As. We have
Dramnios.
Dramnios. Yeah,
Polyhydramnios,
I always want to say,
I
yes, I
think.
want to say Dramnios, but Dramnios, which, so we're going to be talking about that because we have a lot of people who have been asking about more unique things. And poly's not like necessarily unique, but it's not talked about. So we're going to talk about like the high fluid, low fluid, unsupported providers. And if you know, if you've been with us for a while, the biggest thing that we talk about is supportive providers. Like, I think maybe it's not the biggest, but it's one of the biggest. We talk about finding a supportive provider all of the time. It is so important. And then we've got vaginal birth after multiple cesarean, twin births, gestational diabetes, PROM. If you're new to that one, that's premature rupture of membranes, meaning the waters break, but labor doesn't quite kick in. We've got some, oh, what else do we have? What else do we have? We actually are going to do some re-airing. We're going to rebroadcast some of our older episodes that we just think are gems and wonderful or have connections with people like Ali Levine. She came back on recently and we want to bring back her episode, Dr. Stu, just some other really great episodes from the past. Thinking about how long ago that was, Julie, I like as
My
I've been going through
gosh.
some of these podcasts, holy cow. I mean, some of them are like before 100th, like are in our 70s, or there was actually one that was like in our 17th episode or something like that.
Okay, but we need to re-air the dads episode. Do you remember that time when we had
Oh,
all those the dads on? That
yes.
was so good.
That was so good. It
We
was
need
a
to
lot
plan
of
a
fun.
spot. It was so
Yeah.
good. I
Okay.
remember, like, I can just be taken back to us in the studio recording and calling each of these dads. Like, it was so cool.
It was. And it was really fun to hear their take on it and their opinion of doulas, their opinion of VBAC, their opinion of birth and how they were feeling going into birth and how they felt when their wives were like, "Hey, I want to do this." Yeah, do you know what? That's for sure. We'll make sure that that's re-aired as well because I do know that we get people saying, are there any episodes that can help my partner or my husband? Because they want to really learn how to get the support for them or help them understand why. Or like Lynn, there's so many past episodes that we'll be bringing
Yeah, Lynn's
back.
episode was so good.
Yeah, so that will be so great. We're gonna have home birth. I think I did I mention twin? Forcep, VBAC after forceps. So our failure to progress or failure to descend or big baby. Oh, we've got so many great things coming this year. So I'm really, really excited. And then I also wanted to share more about what we've got going on the blog. We have had weekly blogs. So if you haven't already subscribed to our email list, go over to thevbacklink.com and subscribe. We send out weekly emails filled with tips or recent episodes, or we have a lot of questions in our community, the VBacklink community on Facebook. And we see kind of some repetitive questions in there. And so we respond to those via email. So those are really good. But yeah, so we've got cervical checks. When is it good to do a cervical check? When is it not? When is it not good to do
never.
a cervical check? When are they really necessary? What do they tell us? We're gonna be diving, like we have a blog about that. And do you want to talk about that for a second, Julie? Let's talk about cervical
Okay,
checks.
so hey, so I understand that there is nuance, right? So that's the thing about birth, is it like there is nuance with everything. There is context with everything. Just like it just reminds me of the recent like election and things like that while we're recording, that like all these little one-liners being thrown around on both sides, and like the little one sentence can be taken out of context in like big ways when you don't have the context surrounding the sentence, right? For both sides, right? I'm not like pointing fingers at anybody. I'm sorry if that's triggering for anybody. I know there's a lot of people upset right now, but same thing with a cervical check, right? Same thing with, isn't it true though, that like all of life, right? All of life, all of birth, all of VBAC. There's nuance and context that's important. And I would say most of the time, cervical checks are not necessary. They only tell us where you've been. They don't tell us where you're going. They're not a predictor of anything. I've had clients get to 8 centimeters and not have a baby for 14 hours. No kidding. I've had clients push for 10 hours. I've had people hang out at 5 centimeters for weeks and then go into labor and have their baby super fast and also super slow, right? It just doesn't tell us anything. So, however, there are times when it might be helpful. And I use that really, really carefully because it can only give us so much information. So I feel like sometimes like the cervix can swell if you've been in labor for a really long time or if the baby's in a bad position. So if labor has slowed or hasn't been progressing as much or as much as expected, which I use that term very loosely as well, too. There might be a suspicion for like cervical swelling, and having a cervical check can confirm that. And having a swollen cervix will change like the direction of your care, right? So I would say like maybe an important question to ask, and this is a good question for any part of your care, is how will this procedure, exam, intervention, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, how will it influence my care moving forward? Because if it's not going to influence your care moving forward at all, then is it
Why
necessary?
do it?
Right? So swollen cervix, maybe checking baby's position. Sometimes you can tell if the baby's low enough. You can check
Or you can
The
check if they're a
frontanelles
little
on the baby's
async.
head, right, to see if their head's coming asynclitic or a different type of presentation. Again, like with a suspicion that that might be affecting labor's progress. But how would your care change if you find out your baby's asynclitic, right? What would you do if that is the result of the cervical check, right? And if the answer is nothing, then I don't know. But also, knowing that baby's position or knowing your swollen cervix, there's things that you can do to help either labor progress in the case of a malpositioned baby, or maybe for swollen cervix, like back off on Pitocin, take like some Benadryl or things like that, right? That can help with those things. But honestly, I feel like most of the time, cervical checks are just a way, another way for the system to chart and keep records that they're doing their job, that things are happening normally, in air quotes, normally, so that they can kind of just have their backs covered. Like it's really funny because there's other ways to tell baby's position, right? There's other ways to notice. And midwives, especially out of hospital midwives, know all of these things. They can gather all of this data without cervical checks, without continuous monitoring, all of that stuff, right? But in the hospital setting, they can literally sit at a desk and watch you on the strip. And that's the only way they know how to get information, right? They don't know how to palpate the belly. They are not as familiar with, I mean, probably nurses more so than OBs,
Patterns.
just right, the labor patterns and the sounds and how mom's moving her body and things like that, right? Those are all other things that you can use to tell where a laboring person is at in their labor without having to do cervical checks. But anyways, that's kind of a
Yeah.
long little
No,
thing.
you're that's good. Yeah, and I love that you're pointing out, like, is it going to change your care? So if you're being induced, a lot of the times they're going to want to do a cervical exam, and you may want a cervical exam as well, so you can kind of determine what induction method is going to best fit your induction.
Yeah, that's
Right?
true.
Like starting that. But even before labor, I want to point out that when it comes to cervical exams, I see it time and time again within the community, within Instagram, within just Utah. Here we have birth forums here in Utah. I see it all the time. Like, you guys, I am 38 weeks. I got a check today. I'm not dilated.
Ugh.
It's not going to happen. Or my provider's telling me that my body probably doesn't know how to go into labor and that I should be induced. Or that my chances of going into labor by 40 weeks, which that's a whole other conversation, is low because I'm not dilated yet at 38 weeks. Or they're the opposite and they're like, I feel like I can't do anything because I'm walking around at 6 centimeters, right? Like, so it's like,
Yeah.
and then they don't go,
Be
and then
careful.
the
We're coming
person,
right away as soon as labor starts, right?
well,
Anyway, so.
yeah, or like the person that's been walking around at 38 weeks, 39 weeks, 40 weeks, 40 and a half weeks at 0 centimeters has their baby before the person that's been walking around at 6 centimeters. So it really doesn't tell you a whole lot other than where you are in that very minute and second that you are checked. Now, if it is something that's going to impact your care, that's something to consider. Also, if it's something that's going to impact your mental health,
Yeah.
usually it's going to be negatively. Sometimes it's positive, but I feel like we get these numbers in our head and then we get them checked
You get stuck
and
on it,
we
yeah.
get stuck on it, which is normal because of the way that we have been taught out in the birth world. So think about it also mentally. Like, is a cervical exam in this very moment to tell you where you are right now worth your mental space, right? Like, worth
Right.
messing up your mental space? Maybe, maybe not. That's a very personal opinion. But really, it's so important to know that cervical exams, they really just tell you where you are right now, not where you're going to be,
Exactly.
not where you're going to get. You know,
And not how fast you're going to get there either.
oh
Jeez,
no.
I say I do not trust babies. I always say that I do not trust babies. They have
You
their own
don't trust
minds.
babies?
They have their mind of their own. They're so unpredictable. Yeah, I don't trust them. Like, I'll trust them after they're born, for sure. But like before, no way, dude. They trick me all the time. I really
Tricky.
appreciate how you brought up the induction thing because I feel like a cervical check at the beginning of induction and after a certain amount of time after the induction started is helpful information because it tells you where you started from. It tells you if the induction methods that they're using are working. But then, yeah, I mean, I feel like that's helpful to know because you don't want to sit
Yeah.
there with an induction method forever and when it's not doing anything, you know. Anyways,
Well,
I feel like also why the induction is being recommended is important too, because if baby needs to come out fast because there's something seriously wrong, then more frequent cervical checks or more aggressive induction may be needed. But if it's something that you can wait a few days for, like, is the induction really necessary? But like, that's really the context there too, right? Like, anyways, context and nuance, man.
yeah, I also think really quickly before we get off the cervical exam that if you're being induced a cervical exam to assess if you're even in a good spot to induce,
Right,
assuming that
like the
it's
Bishop
not an
score.
emergency situation where it's like we have to have this baby out right now for mom or baby's sake. Yeah, like it might be like, oh, I want to be induced. And then you get checked and they're like, you're maybe a half a centimeter. You're like, maybe
Low and close and
40%
hard, yeah.
effaced, you're really posterior, then you guys, that might be a real good indicator that it's not time to have a baby, right?
Right.
So, yeah, there we go.
Taking a quick break to continue our earlier conversation about the importance of the right prenatals for pregnancy and beyond. As I mentioned, my favorite brand is Needed. Pregnancy and postpartum are the most nutritionally intensive times for a woman's life. You don't have to feel so terribly nauseated or so depleted in the postpartum stage. A prenatal multi that optimally nourishes you can make all the difference between just getting by during and after pregnancy and feeling your very best. Let's not just survive, we definitely need and deserve to thrive. Needed is clinically backed, third-party tested, and formulated the best, in my opinion, prenatal vitamins. They took so much time to learn about women and why we are getting the bare minimum nutrients, and then designed the supplements that addresses women's needs at every stage of pregnancy and beyond. Needed's prenatals are filled with the optimal amount for both you and your baby and include important ingredients such as choline, folate, vitamin D, and more. Enjoy 20% off at thisisneeded.com with code VBAC20. That is thisisneeded.com and use code VBAC20. Back to today's episode.
Okay, so other things on the blog, preparing for your VBAC. We talk about that a lot. We also talk about that in our course, on the podcast, in the community, on Instagram, on Facebook. That's a daily chat, but we have blogs on that. Our favorite prenatal, you guys have heard us talking about Needed now for over a year. We love them. We truly, truly believe in their product. So we do have blogs on prenatal nutrition and prenatal care, what, you know, what food, what drinks, what prenatal you should take. And then recovering from a C-section. I think a lot of people don't realize that our community also has a whole C-section umbrella where we understand that there are a lot of different scenarios. One, some people may not choose a VBAC, which is also a blog, how to choose between a VBAC and a repeat cesarean. They might not choose a VBAC, or they might go for a VBAC and it ends in a repeat cesarean, or they opt for an elective cesarean. These are situations that lead to recovering from a cesarean. And so we have blogs and a section in our course, and then we even have a VBAC, or not a VBAC. Oh my gosh. I can't get Facebook and VBAC like together. We have a CBAC Facebook group as well called the CBAC Link Community. So if you are someone who are they're not sure, or you maybe had a cesarean, or you are opting for a cesarean, that might be a really great community for you. I believe that it's an incredible community. Let's see, link between pregnancies. That's one. You want to talk about that
That's
for a
a
quick
oh
sec?
my gosh. I feel like I see this so much, like people
Daily.
asking, how long should I wait? I want to have the best chances of a VBAC. How long should I wait before getting pregnant? Or my doctor said that I have to have 18 months between births and I will only be 17 months between births and so excuse me from VBAC, blah, 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 right?
Well,
Here's
and it
a
gets
here.
confusing.
Yes, it does get confusing. And
Because
here's the,
is it between or is it conception? What is it?
right. Is it between births? Is it between conception? Is it from birth to conception? Birth to birth? Conception to conception? I don't
Succession?
think there's a conception to conception. But anyways, the thing is that everybody will have their thing, right? I hear a lot, really commonly, I hear 18 months birth to birth. I hear 2 months birth to birth quite a bit.
2 months?
Sorry, 12 months.
I was
12
like,
months. So
two?
1 year.
I've never heard that
It's birth to birth. Oh,
one.
man.
12 months or 24 months.
I need some caffeine. 2 years, not 2 months, 2 years between births. Anyways,
24
and
months.
there's a whole bunch of recommendations, and every provider I feel like has a different recommendation. But here's the facts about it is that the jury is still out about what is the most optimal time. There is one study, and there's three credible studies that we link in our blog, right? Three credible studies. One says after 6 months, there's no increased risk of uterine rupture, right? So 6 months between, I'm sorry, 6 months from birth
Birth to
to
conception.
conception. So that would be 15 months from birth to birth. There's another study that says 18 months from birth to birth. And there's another study that says more than 2 years
Yeah,
birth to birth.
24.
These are all credible studies. And so who knows? Somewhere between 15 months to 2 years, I know that like the general recommendation for pregnancies, just for your body, and this is not talking about uterine rupture, but just for your body to return to like its, I wouldn't say pre-pregnancy state because you just don't really get back there, but like to for your body to be fully healed from pregnancy is a year after birth, from year, a year from birth to conception, right? Is like kind of the general recommendation. But we know that there's such a wide variety of stories. There's lots of context involved. There's providers that are going to support you no matter your length, right? And this is like circling back to provider choice, why it's so important. If one provider says no, they want 2 years birth to birth, then okay, bye, Felicia. Go find another provider because there's someone that's going to support you, right? And there's someone that's going to do it rather than be like, oh, well, we'll just let you try. And they're going to support you and they're going to be like, okay, yeah, here's the risks. Here's what I'm willing to do, and let's go for it, right? So I think that that's really important as well.
Yeah, this is probably one of the most common questions. Sorry, guys, I was muted and chatting. It's one of the most common questions. And, like she said, there are multiple studies out there. So it's kind of a complicated answer because it could vary. And overall, the general studies out there are anywhere between 18 to 24 months, 24 months being what they're showing is probably the most ideal between birth to birth. Okay. And a lot of people out there still think that it's conception or birth to conception. So they have to wait 2 years before even trying to get pregnant. And then I got a message the other day from someone. They're like, "Hey, our hospital policy," which I thought is interesting. Not that she was saying this, that this is a policy. Our hospital policy is that if I conceive sooner than 9 months after a cesarean, they will not accept me.
Cool, go find
I
another
was like,
hospital.
okay, that's weird.
I
So,
know.
and that's 9 months. So that would be 18 months
Right.
from birth to birth. And so, and then you can go to another provider and they're different. So this is my biggest takeaway with this is look at the stats. We have them in our blog. We are the studies, okay? We have them in our blog. They're there. Look at them and then tune into your intuition. What do you need for your family? What do you want for your family? What feels right for you? Right? I mean, we have many people that have had VBACs before the 18th month mark. 15. I mean, aren't you 15 months?
No, mine was 23 months,
23. Oh, what did
birth
I
to
think you
birth.
were? Oh, birth to birth. Okay. I thought you were a little sooner.
So I
Mine was
conceived, what was
22
that
and
like?
23. Yeah, I was a 22 and then my other one was 23. So I think something like that. It was right around 2 years. So, tune into what it is. And yes, we say this and someone has said like, well, yeah, that people have done it, but that's not what's recommended. Okay, that's
Yeah, but
true.
recommended by who, right? Recommended by who? Because like I just said, three different studies have three different recommendations. What does ACOG say? What is, I don't even think ACOG has a
I think
official
it's
recommendation, do
20.
they?
I
But
feel
I
like
think they
by mine
also
is 24
say
months, but
something like a window or a pregnancy window doesn't automatically exclude somebody
an
from
interval.
having a
Yeah.
VBAC.
Yeah. So, you guys, we have that. We also have stories coming up with shorter durations. We have epidural blogs and how to choose if you want an epidural or not, and then what happens when an epidural comes into play. Maybe I need caffeine too. I can't even
Dude.
speak. When an epidural comes into play, and so many more facts, stats, and inspiring stories on the blog, on the podcast. So, you guys, it's going to be a great year. It's 2025. I'm excited. I'm excited to have you on, Julie. It's going to be so great.
Yay.
I'm excited to bring some of our old episodes, like real old dusty episodes, and bring them back to
Polish them right
life.
up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really excited about that. And then some of the weeks we've been kind of doing this since October, I think. We've got kind of some specialty weeks where we're like, "Oh, it's a VBAC after multiple cesarean week and you'll have two back to back." So we might have some weeks like that here and there still where you have similar stories. So you can binge a couple in a row that are maybe something you're specifically looking for. Okay, as a reminder, we're always looking for a review. Before I let you go, you can go to Google the VBAC link. You can go to Apple Podcast, Spotify. I don't know about Google, whatever, Play. I actually don't know that because I have
I
an
don't think
iPhone.
Google Play has a
Review, do
thing
they?
anymore. No, like they don't have podcasts anymore, I don't think.
Oh,
Maybe they do.
okay. Well,
But also you
wherever
can't rate it on Spotify, I don't think.
you can rate
No,
it, but
you
you
can.
can't review it.
Oh yeah, you can rate it, so you can give it 5 stars. That's right.
So if you guys wouldn't mind, give us a review. If you
Oh
can do a
yeah.
written review, that's great. Honestly, you could do stars and then go on somewhere else and do a written review. We love your reviews and truly they help. I know I've said this time and time again, but they help other women of strength find this podcast, find these inspiring stories, and find the faith and the empowerment and the education that they need and deserve. So, thank you guys for sticking with us. Happy New Year again, and we will see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Interested in sharing your VBAC? Head over to thevbaclink.com/share to submit your story. For information on all things VBAC, including online and in-person VBAC classes, the VBAC blog, the worldwide database for VBAC doulas, and more, head over to thevbaclink.com. Congratulations on starting your journey of learning and discovery with the VBAC Link.
Hi, birth workers. This one's for you. In an ideal world, VBAC parents would be treated just like any other birthing parents. In today's world, most medical providers sadly don't fully support VBAC parents. However, 90% of parents with a prior cesarean are good candidates to attempt a VBAC. This is why we have created the Advanced VBAC Doula Certification Program. In this doula course, we share evidence-based data for you to educate your clients, teach you the tools on helping them how to process past fears and trauma, or helping them decide if VBAC is even right for them. You will feel better prepared to support them during this beautiful experience. All VBAC certified doulas are listed on our website so parents know who you are. To learn more, go to thevbaclink.com.